Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us. Dr. Sarah Zieldorf is the owner, medical director of Motivated Medicine, an innovative consultative medical practice in the western suburbs of Chicago. Dr. Zieldorf and her colleagues are forging a new idea, passionately seeking root causes and combining the best of 21st century research with the art of clinical medicine. Today my guest is Dr. Sarah Zieldorf, who's not only an LDN patient, but she's also a prescriber and a researcher. And on top of that, she's an amazing mum and a wife. She has a new practice and she's medical advisor to the LDN Research Trust. Thank you for joining us today, Sarah.
Hi, Linda. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so you are an absolute amazing doctor who retains all this information on LDN. I don't know how you remember so many details, and I shall never forget the first time I met you. I think it was at the LDN 2017 conference.
That's correct.
And you were a speaker, and it was during the the Q&A panels. Mark Mandel would ask a question, and you could hardly sit in your seat. It was like, I know the answer to that. I know the answer.
It was very exciting. Linda, you asked me to join the conference at the 11th hour. I think I had to turn in my presentation speaker notes and my PowerPoint slides that weekend. I had to run to the coffee shop and do them. I was so excited. I was filling in at the last moment to speak on chronic fatigue syndrome, or CFSME, mm-hmm. and I was so excited to get to be invited. You know, I wasn't expecting to do that, and that was my first foray into the LDN Research Trust.
Mm-hmm. That's right, because somebody had, I'd interviewed you, and you said, if you ever need a speaker for the conference, let me know,
yeah.
I will come. And then somebody yeah. dropped out right at the last minute, and I said, Sarah, would you like to take this speaking slot? And the rest is history.
Yes.
That was amazing.
And it's funny. Speaking is never, that's never the problem. Getting me to stop speaking is the problem. My husband can attest to that. I always have to be pulled off the stage with a hook, you know, whenever I'm like, no, I'm not done yet. They said, yeah, you're done, you know, because somebody else has to speak. I said, but I'm not finished, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's never the problem. And, you know, you said, how is it that, you know, that it's a wonder that I know so much and that I'm constantly learning about things like LDN. And that's because it's so fascinating to me, because I just see such an amazing breadth and depth of utility for using low-dose naltrexone, and how much interpretation and miscommunication there is in the medical community about it. It just drives me to learn more and more. And then when we have the conferences, get to meet with scientists and researchers and physicians from all over the world that are doing such amazing work, and in most longer than I have. And then I get to learn. It's so invaluable when you get us together at these conferences, because, you know, we're from all walks of life, and we get to come together and learn about what the others are doing, and especially if it's been a couple of years. So I'll use the example. When I came in 2017, pretty much all of us were using low-dose naltrexone in a very, probably 90% of us were using a very fixed dosing schedule and saying, okay, you take one dose at night, and it's between, in general, 1.5 and 4.5 milligrams. Fast forward to 2019, and there was a much less consensus. It was a wide variety of saying, wow, I'm actually using more, I'm using less, or I'm using a very low dose or ultra low dose, and or I'm using multiple time dosing, and this is how I'm doing this, and we're getting results for different conditions. And it's just amazing. In 2 years, how much more research there is. And in my own practice, I did a questionnaire on thyroid patients because I have a very large thyroid practice. I'm an internist and I treat a lot of different conditions, but I have a lot of thyroid patients, autoimmune thyroid patients. And so I put together a survey, which actually was distributed worldwide. And we had a consensus of about over 400 thyroid patients that had actually used low-dose naltrexone too. And it mimics Dr. Jared Younger's study from 2014, showing that there was a profound positive change in quality of life for those patients that used LDN. And it really isn't in the literature for LDN to be used with thyroid, not in the mainstream. And so I actually presented on that at the 2019 LDN conference. And I just can't wait to keep going with that and doing more research and, you know, showing that it is a valid adjunct for helping the chronic inflammation of autoimmune and potentially helping thyroid. And I just am so excited by the new research. I actually contributed 3 chapters. We're doing a new low-dose naltrexone book. And I was researching traumatic brain injury. And I was learning about how LDN affects these different receptors. And I actually spoke with, you know, did a little back and forth with one of my colleagues, Dr. Mark Cooper in Washington, and he's a PhD, and another colleague who I referenced his paper, Dr. Fogarty, who is in North Dakota, and his colleague, Dr. Hartsch, in Louisiana. And so it's just amazing getting all of these clinicians who are using, like, for instance, in the case of traumatic brain injury, using hyperbaric oxygen and low-dose naltrexone, oxygen and LDN both help work on these, promote anti-inflammatory pathways and help to dial back that chronic inflammation and promote healing. So I am just tremendously excited. I don't always love getting up early and reading papers and writing and doing what I do, but once I'm doing it, I get so excited. Same with my patients. So I wanted to, I prepared 4 short cases, mm-hmm. As to how I have used LDN, and this represents thousands of patients, but I chose 4 different cases and 4 different applications for LDN for listeners out there. The first is, and this is over the course of the last 4 to 5 years, I picked a few patients of note. The first couple were ladies in their 60s. And the first was a lady who had suffered from chronic pain from rheumatologic type she wasn't diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, but more chronic osteoarthritis, and had had multiple joint replacements and autoimmunity. She had autoimmune thyroid disease, comes from a long line of autoimmune disease in the family, and she was on chronic opioid medication. And she also had chronic constipation, so she was on, you know, she was on drugs to help get her to go to the bathroom for the drugs that she was taking for her pain. And it was this vicious cycle. You know, she had lots of chronic pain, and she had hormone issues because she was chronically constipated. When you're chronically constipated, you can have buildup of hormone metabolites too, and her thyroid was not well regulated. And so in addition to getting her on some comprehensive thyroid medication, utilizing all the thyroid hormones, we put her on actually not ultra-low-dose naltrexone, because at that time I didn't have a weaning strategy for helping people take opioids, but I had her take it separate, opposite to her pain medication, and make sure that she separated it by at least 4 to 6 hours so that she didn't induce a withdrawal from that opiate. And we were actually able to wean her off her opioid medication, off all of her opioids, and then she really was able to tailor to dial way back on her NSAIDs, on her other anti-inflammatories, and really just
utilized low-dose naltrexone. She was able to exercise more, do things that she loved. She lost a lot of weight. And because of low-dose naltrexone's effect on the gut, her motility increased too. Because she was off the opiates too, she was able to go to the bathroom better. And she wasn't relying on that other medication to help her go. So we were able to eliminate multiple medications, increase her quality of life, and really she's done beautifully. She travels more, she's able to walk her dog and do all the things that she likes to do with a lot better mobility and quality of life. So that was the first case.
Hang on a minute, Sarah. How long did that take from start to finish till when you first started treating her to where she was leading a virtually normal life again?
Yeah, it's a variety of time, but for her it was about 6 months.
Okay, thank you.
So it was I'm not a charlatan with this. I don't think that it's magic. It's working very closely with your medical professional when you're on these medications, especially if you've been on them many years. Mm-hmm. And so we were titrating her thyroid medication, and we were slowly weaning down on her opiate and, you know, bringing up the LDN to the full dose. That takes about, you know, if you start at 1.5 milligrams, that's usually about a 6 to 8 week journey right there of getting that up to the full dose. And then LDN can work overnight. You know, some people have magic alleviation of symptoms, but that, to me, that's not the norm, especially if a patient has suffered for a long time from chronic pain or from symptoms like MS or thyroid symptoms. And it's very often a gradual process. My patients, I tend to tell them, you know, you may notice all of a sudden that you're having, and I don't know if this is similar in your life as it is to mine, how I explain it, you'll start to have more good days than bad days, you know? Mm-hmm. And I tell patients to be very patient with that and allow themselves to give them the space to heal. Mm-hmm. And it usually is a gradual process, but patients tend to feel better. It usually takes them at least a month to notice a difference. For thyroid patients, and especially patients maybe with skin issues like eczema or psoriasis or things that we're actively working on their system, that tends to take a long time. Mm-hmm. Thyroid can be up to over a year. So I tell people thyroid and skin to give it at least a year. And that's tricky because you're paying for a medication often out of pocket, even though it's not that expensive. You know, patients want to know that it's making a difference. Mm-hmm. And I really tell patients to stick it out before they decide that it didn't do anything for them.
And quite rightly, what you were saying about the opioids, anybody listening who would like to wean off their opioids with using ultra-low dose naltrexone, please do not do it without medical supervision. You really do need somebody to oversee what you're doing, because it's a big deal, isn't it, Sarah, to try and come off opioids yourself. Okay.
Very, very much so, especially for patients who are on, I had another patient who was actually on a fentanyl patch. She was on a 75 to 100 milligram patch and required other opiates too. And with that, when you're getting a chronic infusion per se, that is the time where I do not use regular dose naltrexone. I will use ultra low dose naltrexone, which will help potentiate the effect of the opiate, including the fentanyl, and that can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. Someone may be getting too much medication then, and so you really have to work very, very. I take it very seriously. Working with a patient to help lower their dose, and you know, it may be cutting patches and you know, weaning by 10%, you know, over the course of weeks. 10% at a time or however quickly that I can to get patients down and really requiring less and less opiate medication, which just really helps their quality of life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's your second case study?
The next case I have is a patient that I wanted to touch on about underlying mood disorder. She was also in her 60s, in her late 50s, early 60s. When I first met her, and she was told she was on multiple psychiatric medications, multiple, both an atypical antidepressant, mood stabilizer, and an SSRI medication. And she had been on antidepressants, no, two of them. So three different classes of antidepressant and mood stabilizers for over 20 years. And traumatic stress disorder. So a lot of depression and anxiety. And she was told by her last psychiatrist that there was, quote, nothing else that they could do for her, except she was going to need either shock therapy, that basically if she didn't accept shock therapy. And so she came to my office, and I ran a full, you know, set of labs, and did find that she had some antibodies, poorly treated thyroid disorder, poorly treated autoimmune thyroid. And so aside from correcting that, that in itself did not help her mood. And she had a lot of PTSD from experiences that she had had, in her life. And so we started low dose naltrexone to both help. She had underlying inflammatory markers. And when patients have depression and anxiety, up to 50%, I really want people listening to understand that up to 50% of patients do not respond to traditional psychiatric medications, including Lexapro or sertraline, or Prozac or other drugs for depression. And that is because up to 50% of these cases actually have elevated inflammatory markers, such as an elevated SED rate or CRP, C-reactive protein, and that's indicative of acute and chronic inflammation in the body. Now, at all times, we've got signals that are running through us, different signals that are both pro-inflammatory or anti-inflammatory, and these are called cytokines. So when you actually cut your finger, say, you have a surge of these pro-inflammatory cytokines, which tell white blood cells to go rush to the area and kill whatever infection is actually getting in from that breach in the barrier in the skin. And then as soon as that's contained, the signals turn off. Well, in a situation where a patient has chronic pain or an injury or something, that there's a dysregulation in those signals, you don't get those signals turning off properly. And that creates a sick syndrome, if you will, in the body. And patients that have elevated cytokine markers don't feel well. And in fact, that causes this low-grade or even high-grade inflammation. This chronic inflammation causes people to feel and have abnormal mental health status. They get depressed. They don't feel well. They get have chronic pain. And it's actually a sign of dysregulated immune system. We get problems with neurotransmitter formation from a disrupted gut microbiome. We get dysregulated barrier between the gut and the gut and which is gut barrier and the blood brain barrier, and we call that a leaky gut. And when there's a leaky gut, there's a leaky brain. And I actually talk about this in my manuscript on traumatic brain injury. And we see this in depression. There's actually some new research coming out about how we actually see dysregulations in these barriers that make up these tight junctions that basically is the glue between these bricks. And there's only one cell layer thick that really protects us from our immune system being overwhelmed. And we're seeing that in depression and anxiety. And so what LDN can do is it can help reduce those inflammatory signals, and it can help in the repair when we use other things too. It can give the body a chance to repair those proteins and build up those barriers so that our immune system can have less symptoms. And this is what happened with this patient. We did a comprehensive approach, but the LDN really, really helped her with her depression. And she was able to get off the atypical medication and two out of the three other medications. And there's some new research showing that patients who are on antidepressants can safely take LDN as an adjunct. It can really, really help them. And in some cases, patients are getting off their other medications.
Well, it's amazing, isn't it? So amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And so every case that I'm bringing up, I'm I'm also referencing some papers. So I'm very happy to discuss that. And I always really reference the science in this, because anytime you're not practicing the mainstream, you really, you know, nobody is asking a psychiatrist to pull the paper on why they prescribe for that, right, for the prostation. But if I'm prescribing LDD, other practitioners, do you use that weird medication? You know, what is this? You know, why are you doing that? And I feel that we have a responsibility, you know, unfortunately it is the way that it is, but I think that it's a great opportunity to prove and say, yes, we need more studies, so let's do them.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least in the last 10 years, there have been far more LDM prescribers. And of those prescribers, you get doctors like yourself who want to do small trials and studies on their patients. So we are getting more small papers, I would mm-hmm. say, coming out, which is yes. good. And I will speak to you another time, but there are several doctors that would like to work together with like-minded yes. doctors to all pull their resources together. So that would be very interesting.
Very much so, very much so. Several years ago, and I haven't yet been able to reach back out to Dr. Younger, but I know Dr. Jared Younger has a dedicated LDN lab, and other doctors too. You know, we've all been talking about wanting to pool our resources, and so hopefully that will be able to come to fruition in the near future. I completely agree.
Mm-hmm. Because
I have a third case here. Mm-hmm. And actually I specifically wanted to talk about patients in, you know, different decades of life. My next patient was quite young. She was in her early 20s, and she actually had presented with severe rheumatoid arthritis. And she actually started having the symptoms, and they were very rapidly progressive. She actually had them after, being involved in a domestic violence situation. She had a very traumatic experience with a boyfriend, and she was able to get out of that relationship, but she manifested severe rheumatoid arthritis. And I really don't believe that any of this is an accident, you know? You know, this trauma, this stress can really cause the immune system to be dysregulated and cause this chain reaction that then manifests as a certain condition. For some patients, it, you know, is an autoimmune thyroid disease. In others, it's MS. In others, it's rheumatoid arthritis. To me, it's not a random event. And so that's why in our practice, we really look at everything that was going on in a patient's life and continues to contribute to why a patient may be having symptoms. And so she presented to me, and she was on methotrexate, and it wasn't really controlling her RA. She was being told by her rheumatologist that she was going to need biologic agent to control it, and she really didn't want to be on that. She wanted it to be a last-ditch effort, and she also wanted to be able to have children. And with methotrexate, you really can't get pregnant on that. It actually, by definition, is a folate disruptor. And so that's actually extremely dangerous. One cannot carry a child while being on that medication. And so, you know, I made sure that she obviously knew that. And we agreed that we would put her on an anti-inflammatory diet, and we would trial low-dose naltrexone, among other things. We worked on her nutrition status and made sure she was, you know, working with a therapist and making sure we were getting all of her other deficiencies, like vitamin D, all these magnesium, all these other things that she needed. And we started LDN, and it was a process. We weaned her off methotrexate. And again, I think it was probably maybe six months, more or less, 4 to 6 months. And she was off methotrexate, and her joints had stayed. After about 3 months on LDN, she could, where she had swelling, she could see the bones in her hands and her, and the joints that were affected. And it was actually quite traumatic. She had nearly all of her pain resolved. I think it was, she had maybe a little bit of swelling or synovitis in one finger, and her inflammatory markers didn't resolve, but they were quite a bit better. And I had told her, I said, okay, next it were check your folate status and make sure that you're good to go so that you could, you know, be safe to have children. And of course, she called me to tell me that she was pregnant. And that was quicker than I would have liked. After she was off her methadone, we kept her on low dose naltrexone, and she delivered a girl, a healthy girl, and she stayed on that LDN to breastfeed. And subsequently, she actually had another daughter while on LDN. So she has two children and has breastfed and with that. And so that's a kind of a twofer case of to say that I do prescribe LDN for autoimmune patients and for patients who are maybe dealing with infertility. I use the work of Dr. Boyle, who's a natural doctor in Ireland, and he's treated thousands of women who may have been dealing with recurrent miscarriage or autoimmunity or infertility, and he has had great success. And we have also had dozens of women who have been pregnant, especially my thyroid patients, who have taken LDN successfully and have had no trouble with their pregnancies or with breastfeeding. I have had OBs, though, that I've worked with, obstetric and gynecologists, who have been reticent. They say, oh, naltrexone is a class C agent. It's not safe in pregnancy withdrawal. And, of course, I sent a strongly worded letter, was very angry with a doctor that basically told the patient that she would have to be delivering, you should have to see a special physician, and was worried about the child going through withdrawal. And I said, you know, this is false. This is false information. And I sent literature explaining that LDN is actually an opioid antagonist and does not cause tolerance or withdrawal. It just blocks the opioid receptor. And for a patient who is opioid naive and not on opiates, it absolutely does not cause withdrawal. So that's a big opportunity to teach other practitioners too. And I really, you know, I'm putting myself out there by prescribing this medication, but I believe strongly in it. And we've overseen dozens of pregnant women in our patients for our patients in the last 4 years now, and had very wonderful, very positive outcomes. And that leads me to my last case. My last case is of a 32-year-old female who actually was not on low-dose naltrexone. She was an autoimmune thyroid patient, and she was 3 months postpartum and under a lot of stress. She was a resident at that time, an internal medicine resident, and she got really sick with a flare postpartum. About 8 to 12 weeks postpartum is when the immune system starts to shift. In general, for patients who are autoimmune, who have any kind of autoimmune disease, it may be the case that they do better during. Patients may not, but in some cases they do better because the immune system shifts to a state to be able to carry a pregnancy, so the baby is not rejected by the immune system. And in some cases, women feel much, much better. But after the pregnancy, things can shift, and patients who have underlying conditions may feel a lot worse. And so this patient's thyroid got out of whack. She felt terrible. She was under a lot of stress. She was very anxious. She had terrible fatigue and joint pain. And her doctor put her on low-dose naltrexone. And within a month, she was able to work and take care of her family, take care of her child, and every symptom resolved. And she continued with LDN. She was off it for a little while and then was back on it. And subsequently she had another child and was on LDN the entire time and is on LDN now and is breastfeeding. And that was 4 years later. And that's the story.
Wow.
So it's so funny. I always say, I always use that old kind of funny commercial. I'm not only the hair club president, but I'm a member. And I credit LDN with so many things. At 29, I couldn't get out of my car. I was in such pain. I had a terrible, terrible time in my training. And LDN really gave me my life back. And I was able to really succeed. And if I skip too many days of LDN, my mood suffers. My pain is worse. And I just do so well with it. And I really think that the beauty of low-dose naltrexone is that for patients with an underlying low endorphin state, if they've had a lot of trauma or a lot of stress or a lot of sleep deprivation in their life, and I ding, ding, ding with my medical training and all the other things that I had been through and underlying autoimmunity, it just really helps to reset that and give a patient a better set point for their immune system and help that endorphin, that basic pool of endorphins, which can help with mood, with pain, with sleep, with coping with whatever the person has to go through, and just is overall a wonderful adjunct to care. I wrote in the book, the chapters that I've written, that I do not believe that LDN is a panache. It's not a one-size-fits-all, and nor is it a one-size-does-everything, and that someone can expect you to take LDN and just, magically, that it's a magic pill. I don't believe that. I really believe that the magic happens when you're working with a motivated patient and a skilled clinician who is knowledgeable about LDN and knowledgeable about different ways to prescribe and how to troubleshoot when things come up, and also to have an open mind. Dr. Mark Cooper in Washington, who I very greatly respect, he's a PhD, and he coined it LDN plus. He says basically that it's LDN plus anything else that helps to make everything better. And that's where the magic is. When I first started with this, and it really feels like that I haven't been doing this that long, which I haven't, but around 2014, that was my first foray into LDN after having symptoms for decades. And over the course of a month, really feel, nearly in remission of every symptom, to say, wow, this is something that can help a lot of people, and I want to know about it. And that's how I started delving in, learning as much as I could, and using it in my patients and using it for myself. And there's this, again, we kind of joke in the community saying, is it snake oil? And I can honestly say that it isn't. Too many patients have really had such a great response to it. It's cheap. It's rarely covered by insurance, but on average in the U.S., it's about $20 a month, give or take. Made by a compounding pharmacy, so for patients with different sensitivities, you can have it made in a variety of ways. It's clean. And it's cheap, it's clean, and it has a very safe side effect profile. So most of my patients, are on other medications. And to me, there is a greater risk of taking Tylenol or ibuprofen. So, in Britain, paracetamol or ibuprofen or any other NSAID.
Well, Sarah, I'm afraid
these all have a greater side effect.
We've come to the end now. So I'm going to have to say, we'll have you back another time, because I know you could talk for hours on LDN.
Yeah.
And thank you so much. I mean, we need younger people coming along who are so passionate about LDN like yourself. So thank you so much for everything that you do.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Dr. Sarah Zieldorf is the owner, medical director of Motivated Medicine, an innovative consultative medical practice in the western suburbs of Chicago. Dr. Zieldorf and her colleagues are forging a new idea, passionately seeking root causes and combining the best of 21st century research with the art of clinical medicine. Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, Linda, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.